Welcome to BioTime, a podcast to help you pass high school biology and understand the science of life. My name is Chris, and I'm your host today. Hey guys, today we will be talking about cell communication. Our cells are very complex, and they have an entire network of communication signals that they use to communicate with each other. They could be alerting T cells to activate, to fight off some germs, or send out a message to neighboring cells to turn into a specific type of cell. And right now in our bodies, we have millions of signals being sent out. Cell communication is critical, and there are many types. Today, we will be focusing on four types. The first is paracrine signaling, the second is autocrine signaling, the third is endocrine signaling, and the fourth is direct contact. Let's get right into it. Let's start off our discussion of cell communication with paracrine signaling. Paracrine signaling is the signaling between local cells that are close together. A cell that wants to send a message out to a nearby neighbor will produce a signaling molecule that will travel a short distance to the other cell carrying a message. An example of a possible message would be perhaps to tell a neighboring cell what type of cell they should turn into. It is essential to remember that paracrine signaling molecules are very unstable, so they cannot travel long distances. What happens is that these easily degradable signaling molecules are taken apart by enzymes floating around in the extracellular matrix. And the extracellular matrix is just the area outside of the cell. You might think that it seems very inefficient for these signaling molecules to be so easily broken down, but it actually serves a purpose. When I first read about paracrine signaling molecules, I was wondering why evolution would allow this to occur, as why would you want something to be so weak and so easily broken down? But what I found was that there's something called a concentration gradient. In simple terms, a concentration gradient is the measurement of how concentrations change from one location to another. And with paracrine signaling molecules being so easily degradable, cells can easily control the level of signaling molecules they want to be out in the extracellular matrix. And it's absolutely critical that cells can control concentration gradients. And we can look at this through an example that involves the spinal cord. So cells manipulate the concentration gradient so that the cells around them know what type of cell they should develop into. And during early development of the spinal cord, paracrine signaling molecules are released, and depending on the concentration of the signaling molecules present, certain cells will develop into certain types of cells. For example, remember we're talking about the spinal cord. If there's a cell and it realizes that there's a high concentration of signaling molecules, it's going to develop into an interneuron, while a cell that's perhaps surrounded in a low concentration of signaling molecules will develop into motor neurons. All right, now let's move on to discussing autocrine signaling. I've always found this one the most fascinating, and this is when a cell sends a signal to itself. The signaling molecule, which is called an autocrine agent, can be something like a hormone, and it will attach to an autocrine receptor on the surface of a cell, initiating some form of action. I think that our discussion of autocrine signaling is a good time to go off on a little bit of a tangent, but it's really because I want to bring up a perspective on biology that I think is important to mention, as many students tend to have this thing where they imagine biological processes almost as like playing God. Cells don't have brains, they don't just know to do things. Nothing in the biological world just knows to do something. It only quote-unquote knows to do something because an action occurred or some biological process led to the initiation of that action. And autocrine signaling is a perfect place to talk about this, as a cell is signaling itself to do something. Right? The cell doesn't just know like what's wrong with itself or what it needs to do. It only performs the necessary action because of a complex change of, you know, maybe it's ligands bonding to receptors leading to a phosphorylation cascade and so on and so forth until we get the completion of whatever necessary task. And really what I'm just trying to say is that Biological processes are all logical, and we should do our best to understand them. All right, but enough on that. Let's get back to our discussion of autocrine signaling. So now that we know that the autocrine signaling is a cell signaling to itself, let's take a look at an example. Let's say that your body comes under attack and you get sick, and your body wants to fight off the illness, so the T cells kick into action. T cells are white blood cells that help your body fend off germs. But what happens is that they realize, oh, we need more of ourselves in this fight. So T cells will release a hormone that causes themselves to call more of their own T cells into action. So they're really just sending out this hormone, and then this hormone just, it's signaling themselves, right? And that is a general simplification of how T cells are a form of autocrine signaling, but for our purposes, I think it's sufficient. But if you are interested, feel free to go read up more on T cells. And now onto endocrine signaling. This is how our bodies communicate over long distances. Previously, we just talked about the shorter version where we had the paracrine signaling, which was neighboring cells, and autocrine signaling, which is just signaling to yourself. Endocrine signaling, on the other hand, uses hormones as signaling molecules. These signaling molecules are sent to opposite ends of the body through the circulatory system. The circulatory system is just how we circulate blood, really. So we're talking about like blood vessels, and the blood vessels act as a highway for our signaling molecules for endocrine signaling to travel on. And the things that release our hormones that act as signaling molecules are called endocrine glands. So these are really our signaling molecule generation factories. And our bodies have four endocrine glands. First, we have the thyroid. This is a gland just underneath the Adam's apple on someone's throat. And the second is the hypothalamus, which is a region of our brain that controls homeostasis. The third gland is the pituitary gland, which deals largely with growth. And our fourth gland is the gonad. Gonads are an organ that produce gametes, so we're really talking about testes and the ovaries. These four different glands come together to secrete hormones necessary to keep our bodies running. An example of endocrine signaling would be insulin signaling. And this involves a stimulation of glucose that is absorbed by insulin. And this qualifies as endocrine signaling, as the hormone performs functions with a cell located far, far away from where it was originally sent out from. All right, and one final thing that we should talk about is direct contact. And this form of cell communication is where two adjacent cells are basically connected, as they have many bridges between them called gap junctions. Gap junctions are very efficient, as they allow for particles to pass from one cell to another without having to pass through a membrane. Remember that in order to pass through something like a double lipid bilayer, you usually have to be small, polar, and hydrophobic. And if you're not, then you're probably going to need something like active transport to get you through the membrane. And that's a lot of work on the cell. And no one wants that, right? So that's the good thing and the benefits of having a gap junction. And this is where the gap junction sort of acts like a door they can pass through. They don't have to pass through that film. They just got to go straight through. An example of direct contact is seen in the heart, as ions can flow through gap junctions and help to coordinate the contraction of the cardiac cells. All right, so that's pretty much all we're going to talk about for direct contact. Okay, we have covered paracrine, autocrine, endocrine, and direct contact. Let's do a quick recap. So we start off our discussion with paracrine signaling. Paracrine signaling is the signaling between local cells that are close together. A cell that wants to send a message out to a nearby neighbor will produce a signaling molecule that will travel a short distance to the other cell carrying a message. Remember that paracrine signaling molecules are very weak and easily degradable, and this allows them to be broken down easily by enzymes. And it's important that they can be easily broken down is that is how our cells control a concentration gradient, which is something that tells us the concentration of a specific molecule at a specific location. A specific concentration of signaling molecules will tell a cell what action to perform. All right, and our next form of signaling was autocrine signaling, and this is where a cell signals to itself. The signaling molecule, which is an autocrine agent, can be something like a hormone, and it will attach to an autocrine receptor on the surface of the cell, initiating some form of action. And the example I gave earlier was that when a T cell encounters germs, it will send out a signal to itself, telling itself to generate more T cells to help fight. And on to endocrine signaling. This is how our bodies communicate over long distances. Endocrine signaling mainly uses hormones as signaling molecules. These signaling molecules are sent to opposite ends of the body through the circulatory system. And the circulatory system is just how we circulate blood. So really just talking about the blood vessels acting as a highway for hormones to travel on. And our bodies have four endocrine glands, which are the generation factories for hormones. Or in other words, the signaling molecules. And we have the thyroid, the hypothalamus, the pituitary glands, and the gonads. And our final topic of the day, which was direct contact. This form of cell communication is where two adjacent cells are basically connected, as they have many bridges between them called gap junctions. Gap junctions make it very easy for cells to transport materials between each other, and it's very efficient, as particles no longer have to pass through a membrane. That wraps it up for this podcast on cell communication. Thanks for listening, everyone.